So this talk is about facts, data, and people's belief. And our group is using the integral model to address health and soil security. Now, when we talk about facts or alternative facts or false information, we have to first look really very clearly what facts really are. And there are different definitions that you see here for facts, something that is indisputable, information used as evidence and truth known by actual experience and observation, pointing us to some empirical data that allow us to also to validate, to verify, and to legitimize our information that we collect. But what we've seen also more recently, and this is a cultural phenomena really, that there is the buzzword out of alternative facts, which are, as a matter of fact, demonstrable falsehood. So there are a lot of buzzwords, and soil health is, for example, such a buzzword as well, because when you look for definition, it gets pretty fuzzy. There are even fabrications and umbrella terms out there that are rather confusing. And of course, this confuses not only us as scientists, but also the general public. But when we look at soil facts, there's actually a lot known. And at this conference, we were presented with lots of facts in various presentations that deal with from microbiology to pedology to soil physics and many other disciplines. And this type of information has been aggregated even to the global scale, as we know. And these are only few examples in terms of global soil organic carbon maps and global assessments. But if you look at the variability, of course, for example, global soil organic carbon, shown here on the right-hand side in the graph, there is substantial variability among all these different studies. So a lot of uncertainty, and this leads also sometimes to confusion and to critique of science that has created also in some ways or another an anti-science climate. For example, here are some global assessment carbon values, the median, depending on what type of methodology you use, and for some studies actually the same data set are used but producing different numbers. The median converges, but the standard deviation is still quite high. Now, what we eventually like to do and be instrumental also to provide guidance for decision makers. For example, global carbon is such a case that it has also received a lot of attention over the last years in identifying the sources of carbon and also sinks and the fluctuation and spatial distribution of these sinks. And soil, of course, is one of these sinks that have been identified. And this also applies the knowledge that we gain in soil science to address broader issues. But as you might know, there is limited success also to be instrumental in reaching out to decision makers. And provide also regulations or one way or another to implement also soil health really on our land. Now, in terms of global soil information and research, there are just tremendous progress. And if I believe Google and searching for the term soil, 531 million hits. Even more so than global climate change that has received also in the media a lot of attention. And in Google search, more research-oriented publication here, several millions of publications that have been published. And we know all, nobody has time to read them all. So we get the tip of the iceberg in terms of some of the more terminal papers. But we also have to admit that this type of really explosion of soil research over the last decades have led also to a lot of freedom of information. More and more published data are there. However, it seems that sometimes we are drowning in data. However, some of our knowledge does not make it into regulation or decision-making process. And the last presentation was one such example. So we asked, what do people really believe about soils? And what is their perception and valuation? And so turning to some of the surveys, some of the recent ones, actually this is from April of this year, it was asked thousands of Americans, should the country do whatever it takes to protect the environment? And most say yes, but there is a division, as we can see here, among Democrats in blue and Republicans in red in this graph, quite divergent. Political parties grow further apart on the impact of environmental regulations. He asked about the percent of U.S. adults who say stricter environmental laws and regulation cause too many jobs and hurt the economy. Here we see also the gap between Republicans and Democrats. And as we know, also here in America, Environmental Protection Agency has been undergoing tremendous change since the new government came into action. Looking at further, most Americans report concern for the environment, and one in five try to act on that concern all the time. That means also there's a divergence between, yeah, it's okay to believe environment is important, but really, I as a person or I as a community, we are not ready to act on it. And that's quite interesting, I think, to see also at some of these numbers that we act environmentally sound all of the time, only 20%, some of the time 63%, and then it thins out, of course. It's also quite interesting that our older people, ages 65 and older, are three times as likely as those younger folks to act upon environmental concerns all the time. And in particular, millennials, currently about 18 to 36 years old, they are somewhat less likely than older generations to view themselves as environmentalists. And if this trend continues, we might see even a further decline in terms of the importance of environment and soils are part of the environment that we might face in the future, which of course raises even more concerns. If you look at longer term trends, Americans' concern has fallen here in Gallup survey since the 1989. Higher environmental concerns happened to concur when the economy was healthy. Environmental movement has shifted also towards some of the longer term threats like global warming that we see popping up in the news and media more often than talking about soil degradation or soil quality or soil health. There's a politicization of environmental issues, but the long-term implications for all this is that there's diminished environmental concern and also a less willingness to support policy change. So that part that the general public's belief transfer also into, of course, the decision-making process via those that get elected and really work on farm bills and other regulations in other countries to make policies. We see here also the numbers in terms of the decline. Another interesting survey, and this is the third one that seems to be confirming these trends that are of quite some concern. This was a survey by Chapman University who asked about what are your fears of Americans. And we see here on top corrupt government officials, American Health Care Act, Trump Care, spearheading the numbers. But then highlighted here in bold, these are all environmental concerns and fears that people have related to, well, we care about it. There is some fear that the degradation of our environment is important. Among, of course, other fears that Americans hold, like world war, economic financial collapse, and there are many other fears. You might not see soils on this list. You see climate, water, air, but soils is not in the list. There are clowns on the list that are feared by 6.7% of the Americans, and ghosts 4.3%, and I had no space to list the zombies because they were on the list as well. But to be funny and serious at the same time, there is, of course, concern. Why is not soil listed? Why is it not on the agenda? Why is it not even asked for? And why do people do not even show fear that this is something they care about? Soil loss, soil quality, food production. So looking at it, at this more closely, we believe that the perception is quite important in this process. How these values of people come about? So when perception is defined as the process by which the brain organizes and interprets sensory input, the process by which external stimuli, some information that comes to us, is received and also organized. So it's an ongoing experience. For example, what's in the media that comes at us as some information presented to us? And this occurs some of the time also without consciousness. We take it in all the time. We see the TV running, in Facebook posts pop up. How do we create now meaning of this blizzard of incoming information that bombards us really 24/7? And how do we construct our representations of what's happening in the world? So sensory adaptation means that we perceive the world not exactly as it is, but as it is useful and beneficial to us. So it's about also for many about me, right? My community, my family. Is my environment safe? Is my drinking water safe? Then I don't care as much about others. When we are constantly exposed for an unchanging stimulus, we become less aware of it because our nerve cells fire less frequently. So we've heard about soil degradation for decades, right? But it's still there. So this is what is meant with sensory adaptation. So when a snake is threatening you, we notice it right away and automatically react. But something that is more gradually occurring, like pollution that we cannot really sensory feel on my skin, or soil degradation, it's less important for many people. So there's a distance between the sense perception and my interpretation. Perceptual set is another possibly source of information here. Through experience, we come to expect certain results. We form concepts or schemas. And those expectations and contexts give us a perceptual set and set of mental tendency and assumptions. What we hear, taste, feel, and sense. So what's in the media, what's communicated to us in our environment, that is important. And perceptual set might be totally different. Somebody living in an urban environment and somebody living in a rural area or in Africa or other countries, because there are different perceptual sets that come with it. And nowadays, 54% of the global population lives in urban centers. So there is also a huge shift that we see in environmental really priming. Motivation and emotion, like the perceptions that are influenced by our emotions and motivations. So if this is career, vacation, and money, well, there might be not enough space for soil for some people. And this is also why surveys, for example, possibly show us that beliefs are what they are, like I showed you. Social construction contributes as well. Our perception is biopsychosocial. These phenomena are interpreted based on our social and cultural values. And of course, they differ among different groups and subpopulations. So in terms of perception of soils, what also has happened over and trends is that we tend to digitize our soil information. For example, morphometrics, pedometrics, even training in digital soil mapping and proximal sensing. So even scientists create a distance between the very medium that you try to study and the actual soil. So we disconnect our sensations from, in essence, the environment. And many of us spend actually more hours in the office behind a computer or in the classroom than out in the field. So the integral soil model, oh, my time is up, gives us actually here, just to wrap up, and lens to look through in terms of individual, collective or community needs, but also the data on the right-hand side. But if there is a disconnect, then of course we end up with huge problems. And half a minute?
Yeah, well, we have one more speaker, and we do okay. have a few extra minutes at the end. So.
Okay. Then just to summarize what I just presented, because here it seems that what scientists, in terms of facts that is produced, objectified, there's a lot, millions of information out there. But people's perception is still biased. It's not really aligned very well with the facts and knowledge that we have about soils. And so in the future, to work on this gap is extremely important, to communicate our knowledge in different new ways that have a more integral thinking, work on environmental ethics, literacy and awareness building, but also focus on topics like eco-social justice related to bringing facts and knowledge of soil scientists, in particular closer to the people that are developing specific perception and beliefs, and that translates eventually into our policies.
Thank you. Thank you.